tonight?
I want to talk a little bit about sowing and reaping, because it's so important to understand this principle for us and everything that we do every day. Sowing and reaping is a part of everything we all do, whether we realize it or not. We're always sowing and we're always reaping. And I'd like to break that down a little bit. There's an Indian proverb that says, whip a child at the end of the day, and if you don't know why, he does. Right? Oh, that used to fair weather for me a long time ago. Text from Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. And two things right here. The Lord says, I test the mind. And I think that this is very fitting, you know, for me throughout the last couple weeks of my personal life. And understand that no matter what position you're in, no matter where you think you are, you know, none of us are invincible. You know, we're all just, you know, creatures of, you know, we are as strong as our faith is in God. And that's the reality of it all. And I think we'd like to think of ourselves as being indestructible, that things aren't going to sway us, or that, you know, we're strong. But our strength comes from God. And God sometimes wants to know exactly where we're at, you know. And the difference between the devil and God is God tests, the devil tempts. Do you see the difference? Right? The devil's going to tempt you. But God is going to test you. And in one of our favorite psalms, ye through I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, right? But see, the thing about that is you're going through that valley, going through that valley. That's a test. That's a test to see, you know, where are we in our lives today? So sometimes some of our challenges are good challenges. Sometimes it's good for us to understand that we can struggle and didn't make those same decisions that we used to make. Amen? That struggle sometimes produces conviction that we've moved forward, right? I mean, what about the situation with losing all the IDs and everything? All the way, fast forward 2 weeks later, I got all that back and a job. Right? Yeah. But you stayed in that valley. You stayed strong. You made them things. I had some health conditions that could have caused me to throw my hands up and just say, oh, you know what? This is too much. I can't take it anymore. But I didn't. I just stayed on that consistency of God and said, you know, this too shall pass. Amen? And you just stay strong in there. So when we're in that valley, what's in that valley? Despair, darkness, uncertain, you know, fear sometimes. We go through that valley, but you're going through it. Amen. He didn't say we're going to stop in there. He said we're going to go ye through, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say we're going to stop. Amen. Amen. So sometimes when we look at these texts, we got to think about it. He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Why? Even to give to each man according to what? His ways. According to the results of his deeds. And this right here is the principle of what we're talking about tonight, sowing and reaping. It's so important to think about that. Many times reaping is a figurative term in the sense of an explanation to a reward of righteousness or a reward of wickedness. I mean, in layman terms, basically it is whatever that I'm going to choose to do, or whatever the outcome of my deeds that I have chosen to do will then produce an outcome. And that outcome is either going to be positive or negative. And that's what he's saying. So if my mind and my focus and my results of the things that I've done today are negative, then I'm producing the reward of negativity in my future. If the things that I've been focused on today are positive, or week or month or however long we want to go back, are secure and strong and positive, then I'm putting that secure and positive things in my way in the future. Amen. And I know that all of us together collectively would like to run good. Amen. Right? I want to run good. Right? But I mean, I think like, but sometimes we get to places and we ask them, how did we get here? How did I get here? You know, the age-old question of why did things turn out this way? Well, a lot of the reason why things turn out this way is because we put that 30, 40, 50, sometimes months, years, whatever it is, into making it that way. Amen? And now whether we've woken up or not is really irrelevant. We're still reaping everything we've sowed previously. Right? And I got to wonder, you know, how much of that stuff that I put into this, you know, path in front of me that I got to get through before God's goodness just starts to weed that out. I mean, just common sense is going to say, according to what I've done is according to what I'm going to get. According to wickedness in Job 4, he says, according to what I've seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. In Proverbs 22:8, he said, he who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. But the Hebrew word is awan, which is perversity and depravity. That's basically sin. A Greek word for that is adikia, which is unrighteousness or wrongdoing. But one that I like to focus on is anomia. Paranomia means without the law. And a lot of times we don't realize that we're functioning without the law. And see, and that makes it easy for me to think about that, because I think about our experience. Many of us have just been around a long time. We've been through a lot of things. So a lot of times when things happen to us, we feel like we know that right answer right now. You know, something comes in our way, we kind of feel like we know how we're going to deal with that right now, right? We've been around a long time. We feel like we know how to handle things. But in the reality is, the difference between responding and reacting, which we all know, we've heard that 550 times. You know, if you react, then you don't have time to think. When you think, then you respond. But the difference is here is if I'm responding through my faith, you know, that it comes into an entirely different thing. But if I'm living without the law, how can I make, if I'm living without the law, how can I make spiritual decisions? Right? Are you with me? I lose you guys. You with me right now? So I want to think about this for a minute. When troubles occur, challenges are in front of me, or the decisions that I'm making as I'm going through my daily walk, am I processing them through my faith, or am I making decisions just because I feel like I know what the right thing to do is? Because the question is, if what I'm choosing to do doesn't directly line up with the word, then I'm not planting the right seeds. Amen? And that's my point. My point is sometimes we can oversee things without really realizing it. Now, there's points in our times of our lives where we lived where we did not consider God, right? I did. I know I did. There was a major majority of my time where you would say, you know, are you a Christian? I would say, absolutely. Well, you would ask me at the club if I was Christian, I would tell you yes. I was just naive and had no clue of what really being Christian or functioning in faith really looked like. I just, you know, did whatever I did. I believed in God because God was God. I knew about God when I was in school, but I really knew nothing about God or applied his ethics to my life. But when you do begin to learn the scriptures and the scriptures begin to process in us, they cause different outcomes. They cause different things. I mean, those of us that can testify to that, amen? So, and what do you say about vanity? Vanity really is nothingness, a vain and empty thing that is worth and becomes nothingness, wickedness, and iniquity. So the verse in the Amplified version reads to me, if I break it down, he who sows or does perverse things causes depravity, which is killing of the conscience and doesn't get it anymore, and or too late, which equals sin, which is a direct separation from God, will reap nothing for himself positive except wickedness and iniquity in his life, or will come to him. So the reward of wickedness is wickedness. And that's the thing that we don't really think about very clearly when sometimes our tempers are flared. Amen? When sometimes we're under a lot of pressure, right? But sometimes we don't take these things into consideration. And what he's saying here is the reward of wickedness is wickedness. So if I'm promoting wickedness in the world, whether it's unforgiveness, holding a grudge, backbiting, putting people down, judging people, getting caught up in other things of the world that aren't of God, what I'm really doing is putting things in my way that I'm going to have to get through later on to receive that love back from God. Because ultimately what I really want is a clear path to my faith. I want that faith to shine on me all day long. Amen. I want to go to bed at night knowing that God's watching over me. I want to know that God's watching over my children and my house. I want to know that God's watching over my future and making changes in my path so I can stay on that right path. Amen. But I allow this anger in the way. I get this unforgiveness in the way. I get these, you know, all these things in the way. And now all of a sudden I'm not tracking like I'm supposed to be. Amen. Does that make sense?
Hosea says, "For they sow in the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Standing grain has no hands, yet it yields no grain. Should it yield, strangers would swallow it up." And I know that that makes perfect sense, because there's been times in my life where I had massive abundances, but I couldn't hold on to it to save my life. Amen. Anybody relate to that?
Yes.
Right? How many times do we ride all the way up there and thought we was right there and it was gone? Oh, here goes another 6, 8 month, 10 month run. Oh, that it's gone.
Yep.
Why? He said, even if you did have it, the stranger's going to get it. Amen? Because we're reaping these things. He said, "Your frame I have seen, and it is planted in a pleasant meadow like Tyre. But a frame will bring out its children for slaughter, not only for self, but its children." Galatians 6:8 says, "For the one that sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Verse 7 says, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this also he will receive." And here's where we're going to start to flip over, you know, from wickedness to righteousness, which is a lot more fun to talk about. But the reality is if I'm not keeping myself in check, right? I mean, there's other scriptures that talk about introspection. God expects us to govern ourselves in a specific righteous way as leaders of the community to show his love. Amen. And I want to be accountable to that on a regular basis, to be focused on that. But he says, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will reap." So if I think that I'm in the right today, amen, but I know for a fact that I got things in the backyard, if I know for a fact I got things in the back pocket, things I don't put on the table, things that I don't want my friends to see, amen,
come on.
Right? Be real right now, right? Because ultimately, I want to get that out in the open. I want to grow through that. And God, and Jesus himself said, "Come as you are." He didn't say you had to put on your best clothes, shiny outfit, famous presentation, and come in here looking good like everybody. He said, "Come as you are." Who are we here to heal? The sick. Amen? So it's okay that I'm sick in reality if I can exploit that with my brothers and sisters in Christ, groups in Christ, churches in Christ, and then grow. Amen. This is where I'm at today. This is where I want to be. Amen. And I'm not going to allow hidden things in my past, hidden things that I'm not sharing, you know, affect me from making my progress in my faith. And that's kind of what he's saying. Another thing about this is something we got to think about. It says in Genesis 8:22, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." There's seed time and sowing and reaping. So some of us guys are not aware of this yet. But in Galatians kind of touches back on this before I explain it. He says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good." Amen. Let us not lose heart in doing good. How many of us have made great strides and just haven't seen the end of it yet? Right? Do we find times in our lives where we've put a lot of effort into doing the right thing? We put a lot of focus into doing the right thing. We've steadfast tried to make these positive changes, but we're just still not seeing the clouds break? Yes or no? Nobody? Nobody? That's called seed time. He said, "Don't let us lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Amen. So then let us do good to all people, especially to those that are in the household of faith, while we still have the opportunity. Yeah. So when he said, "While the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day and night shall not cease," what he's saying is that you might be in position for that blessing today. You might have made changes for that to occur for you today. But there's other things that need to occur. And there's a time period around you for when that comes into place. Amen. Amen. Like when you got a football team and you write a play, that play specifically usually involves about 3 or 4 people to execute the play, but it takes 11 people on that team at that moment to make it happen. Amen. So you might have all the linemen in the right position. You might have the running backs in the position. But if the tight end's sleeping on the sideline and he's part of that execution, even though you're in that position, you're not going to be able to run that play. Now, I'm sorry, ladies, that I go to football to for me to make sense of things. But the point is that we're on our football field right now, amen, in the faith. that we're on this team of faith right now, and we're all on this, and we're getting ready to run this play. And sometimes in your life, you might not see that outcome right now, but you're in position. And sometimes we got to wait for that tight end to get back on the field or get whatever it is back on track so that play can get executed and you guys can move forward. Does that make sense? Amen? So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time, seed time, we will reap if what? We do not grow weary. Amen? Never grow weary in doing what's right. We're called to do what's right. We're not called to do what's right because we like to do it. We're called to do what's right because that's what's right. Amen? Not because it's convenient, because how many of us realize half the time doing what's right and it isn't convenient? Amen? We're not called to do it because it's convenient. We're called to do it because it's right. In 1 Corinthians 9:12, he says, 9:10 through 12, he said, "For our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher ought to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If sowed spiritual things in you, it is too much that we reap material things for you. If others share the right for you, should all the more. Nevertheless, we did not use the right, but to endure all things, that we should not cause any hindrance to the gospel of Christ." And what he's saying is, like, this is encouragement to us. He says, for our sake, because the plowmen ought to plow in hope. He says, so what we're doing is we're going out there in the world and we're sharing that love of God and we're sharing that word and we're promoting that word. We ought to be promoting that word in hope. Amen? Amen. Not in expectation. And I got a funny example for you guys. But anybody, when you drive past somebody and then a car's in the way and you kind of get out of the way and then they pass you but they don't wave, but you let them over. It's not a big deal, right? It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Amen. Amen. Look, I'm focusing on this, right? I'm putting it on the top. I'm being honest. Okay, Ben has a problem with driving. Amen. I talk about this a lot. But I'm thinking about this, though. And it's like, so now I'm driving in the neighborhood. And I was like, I want my neighborhood to be the kind of neighborhood that waves at everybody. You know, I want to pull in. I want to wave at everybody. So I'm pulling down. You know, people don't know me, but it's a big addition. I wave at them. They don't wave back. Now all of a sudden, I'm Yo Sammy Sam. Right? In the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm half a block down. I said, God, is it better for me to wave and then have them not wave and then me curse them? Or is it better for me just not to wave at all? You know what I mean? Right? But it's like, if I'm plowing in hope and I'm sharing that love, then ultimately whether they wave or don't wave or be thankful or not thankful, I mean, it's such a small thing. But the reality of it is we should promote that love unconditionally. Amen? Right? God said the rain rains on the just and the unjust alike. You know, so our love needs to be to those, you know, justly alike, that we just show that love of God no matter what we do. Now, I keep setting myself up because I want to turn around and run into them people for not waving back. But at the end of the day, we're trying to make changes, you know. Leviticus says, indeed, your threshing will last until the grape gathering. Your grape gathering will last until the sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in the land. And I know that this doesn't make a lot of sense from the Old Testament time, but let me translate this 2018. He said, indeed, your threshing will last until the grape gathering, and the grape gathering will last until the sowing. You will thus have food to the full and live securely in the land. What he's talking about is provision. It's provision. So he said, if you're out there and you're in position and you're doing that right thing, I'm going to provide for you. If you're sowing and you're reaping and you're showing that love and you're doing your thing and you're promoting Christ and you're staying in the world, but you're promoting that love and you're plowing in hope and you're plowing in love and you're staying forward, what you need will be provided for you. Amen. It will not only be provided for you, but you will have everything until that next cycle comes at which you will be provided again. And that's what he said to them. Now, I know the grape gathering, you know, isn't very common for us. But at the end of the day, they're very concerned about eating back in the day, right? I mean, as we are. But it just wasn't as simple as driving through. Amen? Like, we were hungry. We'd be like, oh, man, I got to go catch an animal or find some fruit. You know what I mean? I would have died back then, in bottom line. But I mean, but there used to be a focus of where we would be worried about provision. But God says, if you're in my corner and you're doing that right thing, I'm going to provide for you. And that's part of that sowing and reaping process when we're in position. So Isaiah 55 says, as far as the rain and the snow came down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, furnishing seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so will be my word that goes forth from my mouth, that it will not return to me empty or void without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in which I sent it to do. And you think about this power of God's word. God's saying that I'm going to set my word forth, and my word is going to accomplish what I said it will do. And the key for that, for me, is an insignificant man who just loves God, and God's love to just stay in my life because it promotes us, right? Feeds us, provides for us, right? Because ultimately I realize that I am nothing without my faith, yes or no? Amen. Yes or no? If this is not a realization yet, please sit down and think about that. So you think about this, and he says, right here, furnishing seed to the sower. So the man out there that's sharing the word, the woman out there that's showing that love, the people out there that's promoting God's scripture, I'm going to give them a seed. And another thing that we got to understand when we talk about seed time is whatever you give to God, God gives you back more. And I know some of you guys might have heard this example, but for instance, if you take an apple seed and you take the apple, you eat that apple, you take one apple seed, amen, you give it to God, you put it in the ground, what happens? We get an apple tree. And of that apple tree, it produces 30, 40 apples on one season or whatever. But every apple has 5, 6, 7 seeds in it. Amen? How many now do we got? 30 times 5, 6, 7. And you take those seeds and you apply those seeds and you put them in the ground. Let God work with those seeds. And they got 5, 6, 7 times 30 times each one. And look at how God's love can multiply through us. Amen? Everything you give to God, he gives you more back. Amen? And you keep that apple seed in mind, that I just have that one apple seed. God, this is my one opportunity to show that love for you, or to show that love to an individual because of you. And then I'm going to let you provide that tree. I'm going to let you grow them other seeds. And I'm going to, promote that love. Philippians 4:19 said, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory of Christ Jesus." Because provision is a kingdom principle. And this is funny, and I want to talk about this for just one tiny second. I'm going to keep you guys too much longer. But I used to kind of, one of the things that would cause me to sway when I was an early Christian a long time ago was the thought that I would need to go outside of the boundaries and provide for myself, right? Because I don't know, does anybody relate to that? Do you understand what I'm getting at? Like, sometimes we feel like we're not going to wait for God to do it because we need it now. Amen? So we go outside the guidelines of our faith and we do things that might not necessarily fit inside that faith because we think that we need to do that for ourselves, when in reality, provision is a kingdom principle. But we didn't wait for that. Remember, he said, "I, the Lord," in Jeremiah 10, "test the mind." Right? "And give to each man according to his deeds." Sometimes there's periods in our life that are uncomfortable. And the reality of it is, I can allow that uncomfortability to cause me to make a bad decision, or I can allow that uncomfortability to cause me to get closer to Christ. And that's what we're looking for today. We want to move in that right decision. We don't want to allow things in our lives. My next text is 1 Peter 5:1-4. He says, "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and partaker also of the glory which is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor as it lording over those allotted to your charge, but providing to be examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And he's saying that, when God is in your life, he's going to promote you. But we need to keep this humility in mind, that it's not our job to strike people when they fail. It's our job to love them all the more and encourage them to continue to try, just as he does with us. Amen? That no matter what position you're in today, and this is my favorite group in the whole world, because you never know what position anybody's in this group, but we are all equally important and loved by God, period. Amen. There's nobody in this room that's ever been in this room that's more important than any other person that's ever been in this room. We're equal to God. And that's the mindset and the love of God. That's the understanding of God. And that's the way He sees us. That's the way we should see each other. And it's just so important to have oversight and not compulsion. To be voluntarily giving away to the according to God, not for sordid gain. Be the example of your flock, the leader. The humble leader of your flocks, whatever position you're in today, humility, but leadership in that love of God is the example of what we're looking for. Amen. So in Revelations 14:14-6, he says, "Then I looked up, and behold, a white cloud. Sitting on the cloud was one of the Son of Man, having the golden crown on his head, sharp like a sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with the loud voice of him who sat on the cloud. He said, 'Put your sickle and reap, for the hour is come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe.' And he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped." In Galatians 6:7 said, "God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he shall reap. Here and now." So my remembrance to sowing and reaping is whatever we're doing physically, whatever we're doing mentally, whatever we're doing spiritually, whatever we reap, we sow. Amen? Amen. So it's important that whatever we apply ourselves to, we apply it through our faith to make certain that all of the things moving forward that we put in our way are from God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.